Our lesson for today is often associated with the account of our Lord's transfiguration because of the tabernacles which Peter requests would be built on the Mount of Transfiguration. We hear verses 1 through 5 of Psalm 84. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. In the Declaration of Independence, we have the very familiar line, or phrase, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Thomas Jefferson wanted especially that last phrase, the pursuit of happiness, included in this statement because it reflected his own personal philosophy known as Epicureanism. And to simplify that theology or thinking or philosophy of life, really, you could pretty much say life is really all about trying to feel happy, trying to feel good. There's some truth to that. There's a constant striving inside of every one of us to want to feel good, to want to feel happy, to want to do things that are going to make our lives feel better, and to improve ourselves, and to improve things for our families, and so on. So there's a magnet inside of us that wants to regain paradise, wants to regain what our first parents lost in the Garden of Eden. And ever since that fall into sin, man has been on a hunt seeking to regain Eden. And just like the dove that Noah released after the flood had come to an end, and that dove went out looking for a place to land and to rest, but had to finally come back to the ark, so it is with the soul, with the heart, with the spirit of man. We go and fly around this world and we try to land on different things that we think are going to give us happiness and joy and contentment and something lasting, but we quickly fly on to other things and often find that our affection, our devotion, a place to land with all of this is just so fleeting from us. But it's always in the hope of improving our lives. It's always in the hope of finding goodness and happiness somewhere out there that will satisfy us and make us feel like we finally have found something. And once in a while, we get something that gives you a little rush of that for a while, but then it's gone. And so this striving to be happy, this seeking for Eden that is inside of each one of our hearts is what causes people to this list. Save for retirement. Follow sports teams. Not Viking fans. Drink too much alcohol. Go to art museums and theater, build new houses, seek out therapists, plan trips for spring break, work out to improve your health, ask someone out on a date, smoke pot, view pornography, take vacations. That all has to do with the fact that we realize we're not yet living in Eden and we're trying to have our souls like a bird go and fly out there and find something to land on that can give us a sensation of happiness and contentment and fulfillment, and it just never quite seems to happen in this life. We are always trying to return to Eden. We're always trying to fly back to paradise. But the problem is there's nothing out there that can give us that lasting sense of peace, security, happiness that we want. There's always disappointment. There are always broken dreams. There's death. There's cancer. There are cemeteries. There's heartache. There's divorce. There's trouble in homes. There's war. There's psychological problems. There's depression. There are so many different things in this world that make it impossible for us to fly and find paradise once again. I've heard after the Super Bowl that many people say the line, Tom Brady seems to have it all. And yet, as wonderful as it is with his plush mansion and all of the glory and praise and money that he has and his family and everything else, as wonderful as it is, he is still going to face disappointment and trouble and tragedy ahead in his life. It just cannot be found here. I remember back when I was in seminary, I was watching a 60 Minutes one night news program, and there was somebody that had gone out to the wealthiest county in the United States, which happened to be Burbank, California. And it supposedly had more millionaires per capita than any other county in the United States. And they were interviewing different people that lived there to see what their lives were like. And this one lady had been talking about, she was only in her 40s, and she, at the end of the interview, she said, "I have so much money, I can pretty much buy anything that I want." But then right at the end, she said, "But I still feel like there's something missing." The heart of man flies around this world trying to find things or people or stuff or experiences that will satisfy us, and it just never quite seems to get there. How the words of Solomon ring in our ears when we think of this. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. All is ultimately meaningless about this life. Now suddenly we look at this amazing event of the transfiguration of our Lord, where Jesus allows his divine nature to shine through, and he gives the disciples, Peter, James, and John, a slight glimpse of what his glory must be like as his face shines like the sun. And they suddenly get the tiny, tiny little peek at paradise through him. And this is what Peter says, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." And he wants to hold on to it. He wants to build some tabernacles. He wants to build things to house this situation, to have a memorial to it. This is such a tremendous experience that he's allowed to have. To just get this tiny, tiny little, for how long did it last? Seconds? Glimpse of heaven? And yet he is so overcome with awe by it that he wants to now build these tabernacles, as if he could almost house the situation somehow and remain in that location and its great splendor. Think how fantastic the real heaven must be. Think how fantastic it must really be to have it all, truly, from God's perspective. How amazing that is. And that is what the Son of God's transfiguration is all about. That's why our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, came and entered our world the way he did through his incarnation. That's why he went about his earthly life. That's why he allowed himself to suffer and die and to rise again, in order to give you and me the chance to see not just a little sliver of his glory, but to actually get to live there forever. And the heart and soul of human beings will never rest until they find their place in God. This very God who's come to love us and has come to give us paradise. And so wherever Christ is to be found in this world, this is where our Eden will be. This is where our paradise will be. When Jacob, the patriarch, years ago, during his dream, was allowed to see a stairway of angels ascending and descending to earth and to heaven, he said of that day, he says, "How awesome is this place. This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Again, he felt a need to erect an edifice there that would commemorate this place. It was such a magnificent thing where he again received the promise of the Messiah. Solomon's temple in Jerusalem was described as being one of the most beautiful buildings ever built. And the birds of Jerusalem, I'm sure, would fly in and find harbor up into the rafters and up into the timbers, maybe sometimes even get inside of the holy place or even the holy of holies, and they would fly around, I'm sure, on the altars of the temple grounds. God invites your soul today to fly to where he comes into this world, and that is to Christ, and where he is to be found. And it's not some great temple, but it's rather in very lowly means of his word and baptism, the Lord's Supper, the office of the keys, the proclamation of absolution. This is where our soul in this world finds Christ and gets a little tiny glimpse and taste of heaven and God's marvelous grace toward us. So the Savior invites your soul to fly to him today. He says, "Come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Blessed are those who dwell in God's house." Amen.